either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qala bal sawwalat lakum anfusukum amra. Fasabrun jameel. Asa Allahu an ya'tiyani bihim jami'a. إنه هو العليم الحكيم صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا Muhammad Mubarak Wasallim. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters that are downstairs and mothers and sisters listening at home, continuing with the tafsir where we left off in the last session, the brothers decided that all should return back, but the elder brother said that he will not return back to his father. And he said to them, Irji'u ila abikum, all of you go back to Yaqub alayhi salam, to your father. Fakulu ya abana, and say to him, O our father, inna ibnaka sarak, that your son has stolen an item that belongs to Yusuf alayhi salam. وَمَا شَهِدْنَا إِلَّا بِمَا عَلِمْنَا, and we are only witnesses to that what we know. وَمَا كُنَّا لِلْغَيْبِ حَافِظِينَ, and that which is the unseen, we have no knowledge of that. We are not in any way in protection or will be looking after something that is of the unseen nature. And then they even said to the father, وَاسْأَلِ الْقَرْيَةِ, speak to the people of the town and ask them, كُنَّا فِيهَا, the town that we were in, وَالْعِيرَ الَّتِي أَقْبَلْنَا فِيهَا, and the caravan that we came with, وَإِنَّا لَصَادِقُونَ, this time we are telling you the truth, that we have not detained Binyamin, but Binyamin has been detained by Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. And then Yaqub alayhi salatu wassalam said to them, قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا, this is something that your souls have made up and it is appealing to you. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ, and what I will do is sabr. Sabr that is very, very beautiful. عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَأْتِيَنِي بِهِمْ جَمِيعًا, and very soon, if Allah wills, all of the sons will come back to me. Allah will bring them back. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ, and Allah is the one who has all the knowledge and Allah is all wise. So we stop here, alhamdulillah. And just to quickly recap, so the brothers now have met the father. And Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam said to them that this is the matter what your mind perceives. That this is what you say, that my son Binyamin has stolen something. But he then said that obviously what I am going to do is do sabr. And sabr is again a great ni'mah, and a great, great boon, a prize that Allah gives to certain individuals. And Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, all of them have this quality. So in the making of a Nabi, sabr is fortified inside them. It is their main feature. Now here, when we look into the life of Yaqub alayhi salatu wassalam, one very important aspect of Islam that we need to study, inshallah we'll cover in our session tonight. If you look at the difficulty, compounded difficulties, one after another coming on Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam. First he loses his son Yusuf alayhi salam. Where is he? Nobody knows. Allah forbid, close your eyes for 1 minute and think that you have lost your son or your child and you don't know where that son is. Imagine how difficult it must be for the father. Think that you don't know the whereabouts of your child. Years have passed and no information given. And then now Binyamin is detained by this king of Egypt. What will happen? And then number three, the elder brother, no matter what, the one who is the elder of the family, the sons, he has a great responsibility. He will look after the pack. He will look after the family. He will look after the parents. Now he is also gone. That he has no face to show to the father. And he says, you know what? I am not going to move from here. I have no face to show my father. So all of these difficulties came upon Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. And we see one important feature in Anbiya alayhi musalam. Unwavering iman that a Nabi would have. That nothing could break them, their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the more difficulty came, the stronger they would become. Quite ajeeb. The more difficulty that came to them, the stronger their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, these are, subhanallah, the halat, the lives of Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. As imams, we deal with the community and, we are human beings, every one of us. And we all suffer, we go through very great tests, difficulties in this life, pain that we suffer, all sorts. So how are we going to cope? What do we do? How should we cope? And this mas'ala is very important that we understand. In Sharia, there is one thing called the science of tafweez. The science of tafweez. Understand this word, tafweez. And tafweez means that resigning oneself to the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is it? Resigning oneself to the decisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is called tafweez. And our scholars have mentioned that tafweez is that quality inside a human being that makes him very, very strong. He will not suffer from depression. He will not suffer from losing himself. Subhanallah. He will not lose his mind. He will remain strong. As it is mentioned in the hadith, Al-Mu'minu Al-Qawi Khair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes a believer who is mentally very, very strong. A believer who is mentally very, very strong. Subhanallah. Our Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib, mentally very, very strong. Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus. Somebody was telling me that Hazrat himself said to him, Maulana Yusuf Sahib, that Alhamdulillah, even now, when he was 70s, he says, Alhamdulillah, I have got so much strength and power, but the people around me haven't got that power to support me. The people around me haven't got that power to support me. But otherwise, the vision that I have, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do. Every madrasa of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'at in the UK is either directly or indirectly connected to the effort of Maulana Yusuf Sahib. In Europe, in America, in Canada, South America, you go, subhanAllah. Everywhere. But we don't know. And so to be mentally strong, one needs to understand the science of tafweez. So what is the science of tafweez? Something that we need to understand. It means that you are resigning all of your affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person has got this mindset, then the shaitan cannot play with his mind. So let me put forward a few examples. Mother and father, they have this young boy, mashallah, very handsome, qualified, good family, rich, wealthy, healthy. And they have decided for our son, we will propose to that certain family. And there is a girl there who is also very, very good. So husband and wife decide. They ask the son that, are you happy? And he says, Abba, whatever you say, I am happy. If you feel that girl is right for me, I am happy with that decision. And I will marry her. Now mentally the families all think, the mother thinks that, look, I am a very good mother-in-law. The father thinks I am going to be a very good father-in-law. And the boy also, when they look at the boy, is very handsome, healthy, qualified, mashallah, good akhlaq, praying namaz, everything that is right. He fits the criteria for any proposal. And so now they go and visit that other family and they meet with the parents of the girl and they talk to her and they look at everything, alhamdulillah, and they say that we have a son, you have a daughter, and this is the reason that we have come here. So the parents say to them that, look, give us a few days and we will give you the decision. And so after a few days, the decision is given in a very negative way. That we are sorry, but we don't want our daughter to marry your son. We are sorry, but we don't want our daughter to marry your son. Now what happens, the mother starts to think that we are such a good family. Mashallah, we live in this locality, everybody knows us. We are well-to-do, we have money, we have everything, we have a house. The son starts to think that, you know what? What a way to start. The first proposal that is rejected, what is wrong with me? I pray 5 times a day, I pray my namaz, I do everything. I recite my Quran. And my heart was with this girl. And all of a sudden, now every member of the family is depressed, but not at that level. But surely what happens is that they are now thinking about this, that what has happened. Now, why are they thinking like that, my respected brothers? Our ulama have mentioned that they have not understood the maqam of tafweez. The maqam of tafweez should have been that we have done everything in accordance to Sharia. We have done everything in accordance to Sharia. We went to the parents to meet the parents and they rejected for whatever reason. We leave everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We put our trust and put all our affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever He is deciding, it is good for us. Now when a person has this attitude, this will save him from depression. This will save him from any kind of pain, difficulty, illness. Anything that happens to him, he will be saved. Why? Because this is his policy. Whatever happens, oh, it is the decree of Allah. So the mother will say to the father, and she will say, no, it's fine, don't worry about it. You know, it is khair, what is it? It is khair. We were thinking about this, but whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided, that is khair for us, so there is no problem. Now, when we get into the habit of understanding this maqamat tafweez, this really helps us all the time. So this will stop us from every kind of difficulty. Our mindset will also be right. You will not feel negative. You will not feel weak. You will not think that, oh, you know what, why me? I do all the things, but why did it happen to me? Mere bete ko kya hua? Why was my son rejected? At times you will find that people come to me also, and people, I'm sure, come to many of the ulama. And you know what they say? They say, Mauli sahab, we got married, I got married to that lady, and I came to you for mashwara. You are getting married and you came to me for mashwara. Fine. So we give the mashwara, and then we also did istikhara. What did we do? So the boy and the girl, they also did istikhara. And so they will come after a few years, and they might even say, Imam Sahib, do you recall 10 years back we did istikhara, and you are the one who said, mashallah, get married, your istikhara is positive. Your istikhara is positive. Because this is what you relate to us. We don't have knowledge of the unseen, like what the brother said here. So what you did istikhara was positive. But then after 10 years, how come we are divorced? After 10 years, we are divorced. We did istikhara, but our istikhara was what? That we became separated. Talaq ho gayi hamare beech. So don't blame Shariat and don't blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't play this blaming game. Understand that when you did istikhara at that time, it was the best thing for you. That for you to marry her was better than for you to marry anyone else. And for this lady to marry you, it was better for her to marry only you than any other person. It was there. But sometimes what happens, 5, 6, 7 years, a person, his level of taqwa becomes very, very weak, and he starts sinning, and he starts disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he starts doing things that are against the sharia. Now when you start doing things that are wrong, then what happens? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can close the doors of barakat, of blessings for you. And because the days of barakat and the blessings have been closed for you, then what will happen is that you will fight, and there's a possibility there might even be talaq. And so it's not about, if you do istikhara, there is a blank check that Allah will give you that your life will be trouble free. So you get married and do istikhara, it is a blank check. Don't worry, you will never be divorced and you will never face any kind of problems. That is not istikhara. In istikhara you do, for that time, for that period of time, it gives you an answer, a solution. For this time it is right. But then there is sometimes what happens, you might do something which is totally wrong. One Maulana Saab from South Africa, he was saying that he went to visit somebody. You see, sometimes even an illness can be a source of rahmat, or it can be a source of azab. So he says, there was somebody ill, suffering from cancer, so we went to see him. So as I entered the room where this man was, he says, lo, behold, Allahu Akbar, 3 televisions. How many televisions? 3 televisions. One to the right, one to the left, and one in front. So the Maulana Sahab was quite shocked. Ki bhai, chalo, television, oh, one television. But television kitni? three televisions. And so now, even if you don't have a television, you've got internet, which is the father of television. He's the real shaitan is the Wi-Fi. And so, Hazrat Maulana was there and he's talking about Maulana Yunus Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, who passed away. He was saying this. So he said, when I was there, I looked at him, I talked to him, and then I said to the family, Kibai, why, you know, somebody suffering in your last stage, why would you want so many televisions around you? So he says, you see, because of the cancer, he can't move his body by himself. So we have to sometimes move him to his right. And then sometimes change his position to his left. And then sometimes he has to be on his back. So in every position that we change, he has said that I don't want to miss my favorite program. I don't want to miss my favorite. This is a reality, my brothers. We may actually laugh about this, but this is a reality that I want to see all my favorite programs, but yet you have cancer. Yet the doctors have said that, you know, your life in this dunya now is only for a few days. So Maulana said, sometimes when illness grips you and you are getting closer to Allah, then that illness is a source of rahmat for you. But if a difficulty brings you or turns you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah save us, then this is azab from Allah. This is azab from Allah. And I always remember the first mulaqat that I had with Dr. Tawfiq, his wife, daughter, two sons that were hafiz, in one house, four janaza, and we went to receive him at Birmingham airport. I cannot forget this. It just doesn't come out from the mind. I was the first person to meet him at the airport. And he hugged me and I hugged him and he was crying, for he knew what had happened. But then after that he said to me something amazing. He says, Maulana, Allah ki muhabbat mein insha'Allah itna bhi fark nahi aaya hai. Itna bhi fark nahi hai. My love for Allah is even more. And he is not an alim. He is a doctor, a surgeon. Can you imagine that? Can you picture, my respected brothers, for 1 minute, in one, subhanAllah, hour, your wife is a martyr. Your son, your two sons, your daughter in one room. You can't even give ghusl to the body. And for somebody to say that my love for Allah is even now more intense. Koi fark nahi hai. I love Allah. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah al-Azim. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And so, my respected brothers, you know, when your level of Iman is very strong, look at Anbiya, any kind of difficulty, they are very, very strong. For the common man like ourselves, we are weak. Then we should practice maqame tafweez. That what we are doing is that we are assigning and we should resign everything, all the affairs to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever He has decided is khair. Whatever He decided is khair. You're a businessman. Now you see there's an office or there's a house or there's a venue. And this is the best place that you can invest in. And you know that if I can buy this place, life will become very easy for me. My business will be very good. My business will be very good. Alhamdulillah. Everything will be nice. SubhanAllah. And he feels confidence. You know what? I've got all the money, the finance, everything is there. And this building is mine. He has talked to the right people around also. Auction mein gaya. On the side, he's been talking with people, everything. He's confident that this is mine. But lo behold, what happens? There's another bidder that comes and takes away this building away from him. SubhanAllah. The building is taken away. Now, what can happen? This man starts to think that, you know what, I was giving sadaqah every day. I'm praying namaz every day. I'm giving charity every day. You know, I was really hoping that my Allah will give me this building for my factory, for my earning, for me, whatever. But this building was taken away from me despite my effort. Maqame tafweez. What you think is good for you, but Allah knows what is good for you. That is why Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam said, innahu huwal alim. What did he say? Innahu huwal alim. Why did he say that? Allah is the all knower. Allah is the all knowing. He knows everything. This is why, no matter what happens to you, Allah knows why this has happened to you. All knowing. And Hakim means Allah is the all wise. Allah is the all wise. I remember a few weeks ago there was somebody saying to me, Mauli Sahab, you know what? I don't like my wife. I don't want to be with her. I hate her. I have no love for her. I just don't like her. I said, don't do this. You know, this is from Allah's word. No, I just, Sachu Mauli Sahab, honestly, if I leave her, I'll be totally fine. I said, he's fallen in love with somebody else, Samjhe. So I says, look, you know what? You've fallen in love with somebody else, and because of that, your first wife, and you want to marry this as a second wife, and all these issues. I says, bhai, be very careful. You know, when people come to me and they say, Mauli Sahab, we want to marry a second wife, what do you say? You know what I say? Whoa. Subhanallah, Abid. Oh. What did you just say, Abid? Tsunami. Absolutely. He's heard that from me. So when people come to me and they say, Mauli Sahab, you know, we want to get married again. Tamaruhu mashwero. You know, they think that I'll talk to them very positively for whatever the reason. So I say, bhai, you know what? In this day and age, you want to get married. Tsunami. Are you ready for it? Our women are like that. They'll drive you crazy. You've got hair here. It will vanish. Your hair here will vanish. You'll have a lovely crown. Your black hair will become white. Tsunami. Are you ready for it? If you're ready for it, go. I say, Mauli Sahab, it's okay for you to. I say, bhai, forget me. Why are you always picking on the Mauli Sahab? Forget the Mauli Sahab. Forget the Mauli Sahab. The reality is something that is very important. The reality, the haqaiq of life. So he came to me, Zumon, nobody can change my, I hate her, I do this. So subhanallah, I said, brother, you know, whatever still my mashwara is, don't, you know, your first wife, you've talked to me, there's nothing wrong with her. But then I get a phone call again and says, yes, Mauli Sahab, you know what? I want to marry the second wife, but I still miss the first wife. I says, whoa. I says, here. I says, you've forgotten our last meeting. What was our last meeting? Your last meeting was that you don't want to know your first wife, but now after a bit, what happens? You are still remembering your... So I says, you know, this is insan. This is insan. I says, insan is very different. His mind, perception, we talked about Juma, the values of things change very rapidly. Very, very rapidly. So Allah knows everything what is right for you. Allah is all wise. If you are healthy, wealthy, alhamdulillah. But if you are suffering, tafweez, whatever is from Allah. What is it? It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, khair. Don't worry, khair. This is marzi of Allah. Don't do shikwa or shikayat. You are going to buy this property and you are giving sadaqah, you're giving donations. Don't stop. Don't stop of anything that what you wanted is not happening. You know, this young boy who stayed in the khidmat of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi for many, many years. Then Hazrat granted him khilafat and he qualified, mashallah, he qualified to be, training other people and tutoring other people in suluk. So as he was about to leave, he said to Hazrat Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Hazrat, can you give me some parting advice? You know, for me, when I'm leaving you, can you give me some advice? Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi said to him, Beta, listen to me carefully. I'm giving you advice of two things. In your lifetime, don't ever claim to be Allah. and don't ever claim to be Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't claim divinity and don't claim prophethood. So this boy said, Hazrat, I have been in your khidmat, in your service for years. Do you think that I would actually claim divinity and would say that, you know, I am Allah or claim Nabuwat? So our elders, when they speak, sometimes you listen to something, but it's very important that we understand it in the right way. In Delhi, there was a Buzrug of Allah, and he was saying, you are not my Allah, and I am not your slave, so why should I listen to you? You are not my Allah, and I am not your slave, so why should I listen to you? He was saying that by himself, in anger. So some of the people, you know, heard this, and you know how news spreads, wildfire, everybody talking that this is not the wali of Allah, he's a shaitan, look what he's saying. So anyway, now they came to him and they said that, you know, is this what you say? So he says, yes, I did say that. He says, but I am actually saying this to my nafs. My nafs was inciting me to commit a sin. So I am saying to my nafs, to my lower self, that you are not my Allah and I am not your servant, so why should I listen to you? So I'm speaking to my nafs, to my nafs. So to control your nafs is something very important, very, very important, my respected brothers and elders. Sometimes things will happen and you expect it, you know, that this is what should happen to me. And if it doesn't, it breaks your heart. This should not be the attitude. We should leave it to maqam-e tafweez, that this is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have a child that is disobedient, leave it to Allah. This is tafweez from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, so Hazrat explained to him that what I mean by don't claim divinity is that when you go out in the community, don't have this attitude that whatever I say must happen. Whatever I say must happen. A lot of people have this attitude. A lot. You might be a husband and you feel what I say must happen. You might be, you know, a CEO of some company and people working under you, and you will think what I say must happen. What I say must happen. And he said, remember, it is only Allah who is in that position of kun fayakun, that what he says will happen, not what you say will happen. And don't claim to be a Nabi or Nabuwat means that no matter how pious you are, don't ever think that you are faultless and sinless, because that is only the shan of a Nabi. Only a Nabi is free from sin. So never ever think like that. So subhanallah al-azim, my respected brothers, a lot of people go through difficulty. Hazrat Imam Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi writes an ajeeb waqia story, that Huzur alayhi salam was traveling and he took off his khuf. He took off his khuf. And when he took off his khuf, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did wudu. After wudu, he was going to put on his khuf. Then all of a sudden this eagle came. And this eagle came and took one khuf of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and took it up mid-air. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was slightly disturbed and distressed that, you know, I'm in travel, I'm doing in safar, it is time for salah, I wanted to put on my khuf. And then this eagle came and then turned the khuf upside down, and from the khuf this small snake fell. The snake fell to the ground. And then this eagle came and put the sock in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allama Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi says, look at the maqam of Huzur alayhi salam. That eagle spoke to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, forgive me for the takleef I have given you. For the takleef I have given you that I took the sock when you were about to put it on, but this was the only reason, that inside this khuf was a poisonous snake. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when you are traveling, subhanallah, and when you are sleeping, make sure your bedding is clean, make sure when you put on your shoes, also clean your shoes, everything. These are very important teachings and etiquettes of Rasul of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so Imam Jalaluddin rahmatullah alayhi says that here is a lesson. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was thinking something, but even in that thinking there is khair. In that thinking there is khair. So many people who study for the exams, work hard for the exams, and they fail the exams. And when they fail the exams, sometimes they become depressed. And in parts of India, you'll hear cases where they commit suicide. They actually commit suicide. In Sharia, this is not jais. Why? Because if you have done your best to do something, these are the ahkam and the commands of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that do that which will benefit you intensely. Do that will benefit you intensely. Do jaddo jihad. Whatever the results, leave that to Allah. If it is good, alhamdulillah. If it is not that what you desire, then say, ma qaddar Allah. Whatever Allah had decreed has happened. Whatever Allah had willed, that has happened. So these are things that are very, very important. So a lot of the times, my respected brothers, we learn from the story of Yaqub alayhi salam. Difficulty after difficulty. Also, we have difficulty. Difficulties come to us all the time. But maqam-e-tafweez, resigning all our affairs to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We leave it to Him. Whatever has happened, it is the decree of Allah. And you will see, when you have this attitude, life will become very, very sweet. Otherwise, your nafs is your enemy. It will not allow you to survive in this dunya. But inshallah, just to conclude, Imam Jalaluddin rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned in his book, Ajib Buzrug, he says that there was a snake catcher. And he went during the winter months up to the mountains to catch snakes. So he said where he went, he had seen there were so many snakes that had died, motionless, lifeless, no movement, and one can say as if they were frozen to death. They were frozen to death. So he was a snake catcher and he saw this huge snake, dead, lifeless. And he thought that, subhanallah, you know what, I can earn a lot of money if I can make a show out of this snake in Baghdad. A lot of people will see and talk about me that, you know, what a man, what a big snake he caught and what has happened. So this snake was dead and he, you know, with difficulty he puts it in this bag, huge bag. And now he travels all the way from where he was towards Baghdad. And when he goes towards Baghdad, you know, the weather becomes even hot a bit. So now he invited hundreds of people and he says, you know what, the snake I'm going to show you, you have never seen a snake like that. You have never seen a snake like that. And our ulama say the biggest snake was the snake during the time of Musa alayhi salam, the stick of Musa alayhi salam. That the lower jaw lip of that snake was on the ground and the upper jaw of that snake was on the balcony of Firaun. The balcony of Firaun. That is how big and huge that snake was. And so he came, and now in Baghdad it was hot, the sun was very, very hot. Slowly, because of the heat, now that snake started to move. The snake wasn't dead. The snake wasn't dead. Now because of the heat, now all of a sudden he's waking up and there is movement. And now when the snake starts to move, all the public run away and also the snake catcher runs away. The snake catcher himself, what a huge snake, what is he going to do? Imam Jalaluddin Rahmatullah Alayhi, Rumi Rahmatullah Alayhi says, your nafs is like this. Your nafs, if you freeze it, it will not incite you to sins. And how do you freeze it? By zikrullah, by tazkiyah, by purification, by taking control of yourself, by mushakkat, jaddo jihad, you know, to work hard. And so when you start doing all of these things, you have the ability to freeze your nafs. But when you allow the heat of sins, when you allow the heat of sins, all of a sudden, like how this snake woke up, your nafs will wake up and it will grip you and defeat you and you will follow your nafs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, my respected brothers. Ulama have mentioned this in the tafsir of these ayats that we have read, that how important it is for the believers to remain strong, mentally strong, and this will only come when we understand the science of tafweez, that whatever happens, you assign all of that to who? Allah. And that is the first lesson of taqdeer. Min khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allahi ta'ala. That the good and the evil, the difficulty that comes to us, all of that is from where? Allah. Why? So we take that as a lesson. Somebody has passed away from your family. Ma qaddar Allah. Your daughter, your son, your father, your loved one, your wife, somebody ill. You lose your money. You lost everything that you had. Khair. Ma qaddar Allah. And if you have this attitude, and you will see that your life will become very, very sweet. It will become very, very easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us all the tawfiq. Inshallah, brothers, for a few minutes, if you can close your eyes and do the zikr of Allah. And again, purify the heart, mashallah, by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so think that the heart is taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.